Welcome to the Fat Easy Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. Joined on the phone, I have Todd. Hi, Todd.
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Going fantastic on my end. Vance is out fishing right now with the Thanksgiving holiday upon us. We're recording one actually in the afternoon versus the evening, so we're just going to get this done so we don't mess up any family plans. All right. With that said, this podcast is brought to you by Fat AZ Muskie Products. You can find us at fataz-muskie.com. You can order rod holders right from there. I have contact information also on the website. Bait-wise, there's nothing on our websites, but you can check out Team Rhino or Muskie Tackle online. I did see Team Rhino had a Black Friday sale going on today, I think. 10% off. So that's pretty cool. I don't ever recall any sales that he would have before. I could be wrong, but that's going on right now. At least I think it is. I saw 10% and I didn't read everything, so excuse me there. Muskie Tackle Online also has probably a lot of baits still. I stocked him up a couple times this summer and check them out there. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're semi-active on those, so you can also reach out, contact us there. Any comments, questions, or complaints? All right, that's enough for me. Todd, how are you?
We're doing good. Muddy Creek Fishing Guides, mcfishingguides.com. Get a hold of us. Check out our website if you're interested in coming up fishing on Chautauqua. And next summer, 2021, hopefully it'll be a little different than 2020, but we're already booking up quite a few days. I know the early season, like June, is already pretty much filled for both Vance and I, but you know, summertime and fall, we still got lots of openings coming up for next season. Get a hold of us. We'll also be doing a little fishing in April and May, possibly. I don't know how much I might be doing. We'll see if these kids get back to school. I know Vance is planning on doing some. He got his license last year to fish in Pennsylvania, so he's going to start doing more trips there in the early season. But end of May through last Saturday in May through November, some point, we will be fishing Chautauqua Lake and try to get everybody out there and get them on some fish.
Perfect. While on those charters, you guys will be having the experience of St. Croix rods. The motto is best rods on earth. And, you know, I have them. I like them. I mean, I pretty much narrowed it down to two casting rods, and we talked about it a little bit recently. I really like that Big Dog, and I also have that extra heavy Premier as a backup rod. That's me personally. I'm not running charters, but I probably, how long has it been since we got that, those rods, those first Big Dogs?
That Big Dog, man, I'm thinking that was probably
14. I was going to say seven years ago.
Yeah.
So
well, I just look, mine's around. It says the date on them, but yeah, we've had them about that long. I got a new one to fill in.
Yeah,
it was made in 2015.
Okay, yeah. So it's been 5 years.
Yeah,
seems a lot longer, but
it's longer than that. Yeah,
I really like that rod. You know, we as we discussed on a prior show, that's not a very popular rod, but that's the great thing about fishing rods with the different weights and lengths and all that other stuff. Go find one that fits your needs. The St. Croix definitely has a very wide selection, various models and price points. So check them out.
Yeah.
And
every species we're going to also be doing. We've done our charters out of Ranger boats. Big thanks to Ranger for sponsoring the podcast. And if you're looking at purchasing a Ranger or possibly a used Ranger or getting your boat doing some service, check it out at Vic's Marine, Vic's Sports Center over in Kent, Ohio. They also are selling Tritons and Starcrafts. My boat's over there right now. Going to get some winter service done on it and try to fix up my little issue there. I haven't heard from them, so I got a free garage stall. But check them out over there. Vic's do a great job on servicing boats for fishermen, because they are fishermen. We've had him on. He was a professional bass fisherman. He knows how to set everything up. That's what's nice. I'd want to a dealer like that.
On the topic of your boat,
yeah,
I remember back in the day, that would be a little storage cache for the jolly old fat man. Is it still with, if you remember, with the boat cover on, you would store stuff there?
Yes, we don't have that storage. However, the jolly old Saint Nick is no longer
needed.
Because my daughter at this point.
She's been bad this year.
she knows, yeah.
So
we were talking about it there a little bit ago, earlier, a couple months ago. She was looking at me like smiling, and she knew I knew what she was saying.
So the jig was up. That
she never told us
that there was no chimney that he could go down at your house, so he put everything in the boat.
Yeah. Yes.
I like it. But I'm going to tell you what, those are really good places to store things. I mean, I just recently started using my cover that came with my 617. I had an okay cover with the other boat, but I never covered it up. But when you put that nice, like a real, like, I don't even know what it is, sunbrella material that mine was made of, can hide a lot of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff that I have on the shelf, like when I, in the spring, when I'm like getting the boat ready so I can use it twice in July, I take the seats and put them on shelves and, you know, dance around like the leaning post. And when it's time to like put it away, oh, look at this. I'm going to put these rod holders in there. I'm going to put this in here. I'm not going to need this next year. And you throw the cover on and it looks like you know what you're doing in professional, but underneath the surface, much like myself, I'm a hot mess.
The storage unit. Yeah. I think we've talked about that on once or twice in the podcast probably by now, but I've spent many hours sleeping under there. You know, one time we pulled into St. Clair in the middle of the night and the cottage wasn't open and we had a mishap there, and just grabbed a sleeping bag, crawled in under the tarp. You have about my old boat had those fiberglass bows in them, and you know, I couldn't stand up, but I could sit up. And let me tell you, if someone tries to get into your boat,
oh my gosh, that would be a surprise.
That would be a very big surprise. He said, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah. Oh well, picture this: the person's like going to try to sneak in. They're like, "Oh, I know this," and like you awake and you're half with it, and you just they open it up, and you can kind of see where they're going to be at, and you just have a pistol pointed at them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, do you know how?
Yeah.
Their flashlight goes and they just see a red light on their forehead.
Grab them with a boga.
Oh, God. They open it up and you just cross the face.
Yeah.
Officer, I can pick him up out of a lineup. He has the claw marks on the side.
That's where I had him by the nose.
Oh, gosh. Don't put it through his lip. It'll put a hole in it and maybe break his jaw.
Yeah.
As he starts to roll.
As he runs away, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so I think that's all our plugs.
Well, Muskie's Inc., that's one.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw our club was still having our, we just had something, saw something on a Facebook post about our, they're done selling tickets. They must have sold all the tickets for the banquet. You know, that's just one thing our club does. You know, they have a banquet every year, a lot of raffles. They actually just had one that could have been the one from last year, I think. You know what I'm saying? But because it got delayed. But they always give away a lot of nice prizes. You know, they have raffle tables and a lot of clubs. That really is what keeps the club going throughout the year. They raise a lot of money at these banquets and awards banquets where they give out to people who have won the, you know, the release awards for the year, all the different different categories, the kids, and you know, these clubs are doing so much with you know, the stocking, helping the fisheries around the area. So it's really important to support those your local muskie and club. You know, get involved, and if you're muskie fishing, you should be a member. And they have, I was reading that, I meant to make a note of it. I think I was reading like 6,000 members right now, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Way lower than I thought, you know. So really, as muskie fishermen, we got to step it up, kick in the $45 a year.
We're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And another announcement is our weekly update. I have not heard anything in about the Muskie Max being canceled. So as far as I know, it is still going. It is our favorite show of the year. It happens later than a lot of the other shows, which I really like that. When you start, because it's the 6th and 7th of March this year, it's in Canonsburg, where it has been the last 2 years, Prince Scape Arena. When you get to that March, to me, it's starting to feel a little bit springy. I mean, yeah, we could still get hammered with snow and stuff, but you're kind of getting out of the woods. And it's just a good feeling, a good vibe. People are smiling, especially down in like the Pittsburgh area. It's usually in the 40s, sometimes 50s. I don't know. It's great for coming from where I'm at. It can be a big swing in temperature just 2 hours south. And I just like the timing of it. So as for 2021, it's still on, as we know, a lot of great vendors. So we're hoping it stays that way. But stay tuned for any updates, but keep your calendars marked as of right now. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before we kind of jump into this?
I think that's all, everything.
Okay.
We always have fun doing our plugs.
It is fun. So
it's longer than normal. But
So kind of coming up with the topic of the show, we've thought about some stuff. You know, casting wise, Todd, do you really use any other bait casting wise, like a casting bait other than the AZ products?
Not really. I mean, I throw some spinners every once in a while, some inlines, you know, depending on who I'm fishing with or where we're fishing. Played around a little bit this year. You know, we definitely throw crankbaits, you know, whether they be the deep diving, you know, 5-inch shad baits or the, you know, the minnow style. We do that a little bit, you know.
But
I played around
90+% of the time it's an AZ.
Yeah. Yep, you know, certain. I've played around with. We've got some fish on, like, which used to be Tony Grant's Ratlin shads and things like that. You know, you made a bigger one. They're kind of easy for people to throw. You throw them out as long as they're doing something. They're, you know, they're big rattle baits, and you know, we get some fish on them. Mm-hmm. But you know, for the most part, we're throwing a lot of jerk baits and rubber baits. I threw some different rubber baits this year because we were sort of ran out of rubber. That was our hot casting bait this season for us, you know,
mm-hmm.
was our swim bait series. And, you know, when you're fishing, when you get into a pretty decent casting bite with sometimes with that rubber, I can go through them pretty quickly.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So I brought up that topic to kind of explain how we are with the casting baits. And to be fair and honest, I think that there would be a little bit of doubt in the listener's mind if we were to be reviewing casting baits.
Yeah.
So with that being said, the one thing that we don't make is a trolling bait, like a dedicated trolling bait. Yeah, you can pull any bait, but more specifically crankbaits. And between you and Vance, I don't know anyone that really puts the hours in trolling that you guys do. On, you know, me personally, I'm sure there's more people out there that troll a lot more, but yeah. I kind of would think that, you know, this might morph into something a little bit more, I don't know, standard, but we're going to kind of play with this. You know, Vance is out fishing right now and we might get his opinion on some of this stuff. He might have some different baits, but that he wants to talk about, but we made a short list of some new baits. They might not be new this year, but they were new to you, Todd, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. And what we're going to do on this is we're going to kind of talk about the bait. Some of these baits caught fish. Some of them didn't catch fish. And I think that we should all understand right up front, whether it catches a fish or not, that's irrelevant to whether it's a good bait or not. Some of my worst baits that I would say I don't catch fish on those, I'd never run those, the guy in the boat with me says, this is my best bait ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these things. It's timing and all this other stuff. I'd like to think that every bait that we're going to talk about can catch fish, will catch fish. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But we're just going to give a basic rundown of these baits and thoughts and, you know, what you're thinking and things like that. And so we're going to kind of do an honest trolling bait review part one, because I can see us doing more of these.
Yep.
And we're just going to see how long they go. I mean, if we get through three, we get through three. If we get through this list, we get through the list. But I think it'd be fun to talk about them. I have them written down, Todd. Is there one that you want to talk about first? Do you want to go in any order?
No, we can go any order. And I'll begin with saying, here's the, you know, if you go back 20 years, it's just such a limited, probably, I'm going to guess probably every bait, I'd have to think about this, but I know if you go back 25 years, every bait we're going to talk about, they were not in existence 25 years ago, you know. As we've said, I mean, this, you know, the computer, Facebook, being able to set up a website, you know, there is so many different baits out there, and you can't, you know, you just can't use them all. I was, you know, man, we can talk about years ago, and you know, 25 years ago, when I got, you know, I got 100 fish, turned them into Muskie's Inc., and 99 of those fish were on Wiley's. You know, but a lot of times you're in Canada, I'm trolling one lure. I don't do a lot of experimenting at that point. You know, you go with what you have.
You go with what you know.
Yeah, and you just keep doing the same thing, and, you know, you might throw something out every once in a while, but it better go real quick or you're going to go back to what you were doing. But getting into the guiding and them adding the, you know, even when I was fishing before a lot of guiding, you know, so let's say I go fishing with Andy, everywhere we went had either a one or a two pole limit. So now I'm still not going to do a whole bunch of experimenting. I'm picking one side of the boat. I got my two lures and Andy's running what he wants. So you can experiment a little, but you know, you're going to keep your go-tos on there. Getting into the guiding really allowed me to change, because in the morning now you're allowed three rods, man. Sometimes I can run an extra board, you know, so I'm running six all the time. Well, that gave me the opportunity to start playing with some of these other baits from some other bait makers and stuff. And being a guide, also really nice when you're taking guys out all the time that, you know, when guys start making baits, a lot of times they'll get you a few and say, hey, tell us what you think. See if you get them. Some of those baits have turned out to be some of my main go-to baits now, you know, stuff that I wasn't even running. Well, a lot of them weren't even in existence, but you know, that's how I got to running them. Cause now every morning I'm picking six baits. And I had days this year when, you know, I'd get a text from Vance, you know, what's your action on? And maybe we didn't talk that day. I said, well, I really didn't send anything because I got, you know, I'm 5 for 6 and they've hit six different baits running at different depths. There's no pattern here. There's nothing for me to tell anybody, you know, but that kind of stuff happened. But that's how we've gotten a lot of these baits. These guys get us a couple. And, you know, try them out and just give our own little review. And, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. And, you know, some of these baits, like Todd said, were given. Some of them were bought at full retail.
Yes.
We don't go around asking for freebie stuff.
I've never asked for any, no.
And and when baits were bought or given, nowhere was there said, please do a review on this. So we're just kind of coming up with some stuff here and... I think this might be a fun little thing that we do every so often. So let's start off with a more commercially available bait. And this bait has changed owners several times in the last 10 years or so, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it is the Tough Shad, but more specifically the 8-inch Tough Shad.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a bait that's injection molded. It's probably either like hypersonic welded or super glued together. There is, they call them rattles, but they're really just weights to in these chambers. And it's a reasonably priced bait. You're looking around the $30-ish dollar mark. It could be 35, could be 28. I'm never going to sit here. Don't quote me on prices. I'm going to give an about number on some of these things because I could be way wrong on some of them. But that Tough Shad's about a $30-ish bait and the 8-inch. Now, Todd, talk about your little history here with the Tough Shad.
Yeah, well, you know, I started using that. That was a bait that I started using with some of my buddies from Ohio and some people I knew were starting to get a good bit of action on them, you know, years ago when they were made out of wood. And picked a couple of the small ones up, picked a couple of the bigs, 8s, 10s. All wooden baits and, you know, got fish on them. When they went to plastic, you know, some of the people were really bummed about that.
Now, hold on. So the wooden, was that like in from your memory, the wooden Tough Shad, the original one, that was kind of like one of the original baits to kind of have that shad profile?
It's the first one that I remember. You know what I mean? That's the one when he came out with that small 5-inch tough shad or whatever the size they call it. You know, I think it's 5. He has a 4 and a 5. But when they came out with that bait, yeah, I don't remember, you know, that was the first one I remember.
Yeah, now I think Bagley's had something like, but
Bagley's had a little monster shad. It did look a little like that. I think that's where that came from. You know, that guy was using a lot of those Bagley baits and little flat-sided bait made out of balsa. You know, they were just, the lip was glued in. You could get some fish on them. They weren't a very durable. Balsa and musky teeth don't last long.
That was more of a big bass bait at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
It probably was.
Okay.
But we had turned them into musky baits.
So
monster shed.
As it kind of progressed,
mm-hmm.
we feel it's safe to say that the tough shad was spawned maybe in response to the Bagley monster shad, but it just made it a musky bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did
more durable, a little bigger hooks? Yeah.
Now you brought up that when they went to plastic. So initially they were wood, and then they went to plastic. Why were people slightly or majorly disappointed when they went to plastic? What changed?
Well, you know, I guess it's that handmade feel of the, you know, there's still a lot of people like that that don't like using plastic lures. Other people like the plastic lures. Oh, you know, they say the teeth will slide on them better. They don't get a grip in them, you know, they're with their teeth. I don't know that any of that means a lot, but hey, everybody's got their own theories, you know, but I think that's just it. Went from a handmade bait to a mass produced bait. And, you know, thinking you're going to lose quality or anything like that. But, is the action different? Yeah, absolutely. But I can tell you the plastic, the little small plastic tough shad, I've caught way more fish on that than I did the wooden ones I had. You know what I mean? I don't even have my wooden ones in the boat anymore. But
how did the wooden ones run? So for comparative?
Yeah, they were a little more erratic, you know.
Did they have a wide wiggle, a tight?
Nice, you know, nice wiggle back and forth. The tail went back and forth real nice. And every wood, you got to remember, every wood lure, I had some that ran different than others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, that's what you...
Something that's interesting about, you know, the wooden plastic, I think, and correct me if you think I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
that people are more willing to accept cosmetic imperfections on a wood bait than they are on a plastic bait. And the reason being is they know that wood is this and it's handmade, and mm-hmm. a plastic bait is just... It you know, air quotes, just cranked out, just pumping them out.
Yep.
And I think that some of that, it loses that organic feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at this. This part shrunk weird and got turned like this. And you'll see more complaints
mm-hmm.
from something like that than, hey, look at this. This thing has like a little, where you drilled the screw eye or what have you. It chipped a little piece of wood, and you know you just left it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
possibly. Yep, I see your point there. Yep.
But so the plastic tough shads, you've been using the regulars mm-hmm. 5-inch or whatever they call them mm-hmm. for a long time.
I'm gonna say I don't know when he went plastic. 2008 maybe 10.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be my guess when they went to plastic. You know, it hasn't been that long ago, but
then it got sold, and then it got sold again. The company.
And that's more recent, the last 5 years or so, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And he also, so he created an 8, I think you know, they also had the mold made for that 8-incher. And we talked about we said earlier that we picked up a bunch. You know, we went to the one show, we were going to go to the show, and no one was going to have tough sheds. We picked up 150, I think, painted them. We were going to take some just with our paint jobs on them, buy the blanks, do that. And, I said to Andy, let's order a few of these. I've never even tried them. There's so many baits to try. So, you know, I used to use these 8-inch and 10-inch cups, and I'd never tried a plastic one. So Andy painted a few, wanted to see how they ran. They ran exactly what I anticipated. You know, those plastic baits are simple to run. They're ready to go. Usually I don't have to make any adjustment on anything. I mean, they're cranked out by the thousands and the same exact, everything's exact the same as we talk about with the Raptor. That's how we can hit this.
Yeah, it might not be beautiful, but they're all the same.
Yeah. And if you run them, they're not going to be beautiful very long anyhow. But anyhow,
So you put an 8-incher on. Is it
put an 8-incher on? Had you paint? Had you? I picked them up. I stopped at your place that one day this summer.
Yeah,
I think it was halfway through the next day. I sent you a few pictures, and they're like, "Wow, my paint looks all scratched up already." You know.
Yep.
Now, yeah.
The 8-inch bait, is it 8 inches with the lip, or do you think it's an 8-inch body? Guess. I mean, we're not
going. I'm guessing it's probably without the lip.
Okay, so it's a pretty big profile.
Yep. It's a pretty big bait. Yeah. Yeah,
I had a lot more room to paint on them, and it's weird when you paint 155-inch baits and you try to mimic the pattern, and it's like three times the real estate.
The perch has 18 stripes down the side.
Oh my gosh, it's insane. Yeah. It looks like a tiger or a zebra. So not having run the wooden one, and you put the plastic one out, you said you kind of figured how it would run. How did it run? Did it run deep?
Yeah, very deep diving real quickly, which is what I was wanting off the back corners of the boat, you know, fishing some deeper water, letting out a little more line. It's nice to have those ones that are down and out of the way, and you can get them down there real nice and quick. So, you know, I started playing with the line lengths a little. I could tell by the line angle pretty much where it was going, and I got them right down there where we were getting the fish, and they hit them. You know, the plastic ones don't have the big wide wiggle. It's more of a little wobble, I would say, back and forth, a little shake to it, you know, not near as
would you compare is it, so it's tight, it's a tight wiggle?
Yes, a lot tighter wiggle, but as you said, you got those little hunks of lead in there that are making it work, so it's giving a little rattle. You can hear it, but you can feel it in the pole, and you know, obviously when you're trying to get that down there, it's up in the air how much I don't know how much those fish are, you know, what they're really seeing down there. If you're trying to get that bait 18 or 20 feet down, you know, I don't know how much light penetration sometimes in some of the lake.
It's got to be next to zero.
It's got to be next to zero, you know. So in those dark water, when it's that dark water, I like those because I like the little five because of that lead in there. I like that rattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I do better on those lures at that point.
The wiggle, is it similar to like Tony's rattle shads, like a really tight like that, or is it a little bit crankbaity more?
It's pretty tight, man. And so are the 5.5, the 5-inchers. You know, they don't give that big sweep back and forth. That tail's not dancing; they're just wobbling back and forth. But they get hit a lot for me.
They get hit now, tracking wise.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. Is there minimal tuning out of the box kind of deal?
Very, very, very minimal. They're so easy to keep running, you know. And it's a lot of it has to do with that less aggressive action. You know, the more aggressive the action your bait has, and the faster you're trying to go with it, the more dialed in that thing has to be. You know, and those are like whatever they are, welded in eye ties. You know what I mean? It's not.
They're like molded in. Yeah.
Yes, it's like molded right into the thing. It's not a piece of wire that someone's fed through and all the work you got to do to make the through wires. And those wires, you know, they have a little flexibility to them, you know, where some of those, you know, some of my baits, you know, almost every time you get a fish, especially if you're putting them in the net, you got to check that bait, you know, you'll put it out and it's bent over. I do very little work with those plastic molded in baits. There's very little tuning involved.
They're very novice friendly, in other words, with tuning.
They're very novice friendly, yes.
And they hold a tune good.
Hold a tune good. I like those small ones on my planer board. Also because they don't pull real hard, you know. So it's letting that board slide out to the side. We're running those small inline boards, and that's I run that bait a lot on the planer boards. You know, they can take the wave action. They can take a sharp turn. They just stay down there and do their little wiggle or wobble, I should say.
How do they hold speed?
I've no problem with them things holding speed. You know, none at all. They go as fast as any time I've never had them blown out of the water. So again, it comes down to the manufactured bait, those mass produced baits. That once they get something dialed in, you know, you can take other ones. You can take you know, guys all the time come, and everyone's got believers and swim whizzes with them when they come and say, oh, I got these baits, this and that. They're great bait. I used to catch a lot of them on it, but good luck trying to go five miles an hour with them. You know, they're just not made for that. That's a lure you can slow down and go three, and it's got great action, you know, but hard to get them. We used to go through lots of them and try to get one that would hold the speed, you know, and mm-hmm. that's just the look at the build of them, you know, they're the way the lip is and everything, you know, that's just, that's the way the baits are. You got to, you know, that's the biggest thing I talk to people about when they're out, you know, you're trying to run this and this at the same time. And that bait, you know, the big people catch tons of fish twitching and trolling big grandma lures, you know what I mean? But gosh, trying to go, you're going 5 miles an hour and making turns and stuff. They're a big, wide, floppy, you know, they just don't take it that well. They don't take that speed that well. But mm-hmm.
So in other words, like this kind of sum up the review of the 8-inch Tough Shad is,
yeah,
it's a pretty well built bait. It handles speed well. It's a tight wiggle. It's a mm-hmm. deep diver. It has rattle, sound producing, rattles mm-hmm. inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is good for the novice. Mm-hmm. They're not beautiful baits. You can put a good paint on them, but they're still that. I would not classify them as works of art. I would call them workhorses.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So that would be kind of how we sum up the 8-inch, the 8-inch Tough Shad. Now we talked a little bit about the 5-inch Tough Shad, but mm-hmm. new to you this year was that 8-inch.
Was that 8? Yeah. Yep.
And I guess if someone were to say, I think I need this bait in my arsenal, what do you feel that bait fills a niche for? Like, you wouldn't pull it springtime 8 foot of water, would you?
No, but for me, it was trying to get, when you're trying to get down there a little deeper, as I said, it's nice to have some nice digging baits there that will go down and stay out of the way on the down rod for me. And that's the way I like to fish them. And that's what I was what I used them for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice, easy to use bait that, let's face it, the Tough Shad lines and these mass produced baits are the most,
fish catching baits on Muskies Inc.
Well, they are. Yeah, actually, but they're also the most price friendly, you know,
they are priced accordingly.
Yes. As you were saying, a $35 price range, where a homemade, nice, beautiful wooden bait, which is great. They're works of art. You can buy three of those for the price of some of these other baits. Just the way it is.
So the person who might want to try to get a bait that's a little bit deeper in the column, that you're probably not going to cry if you get it snagged up and lose it.
Especially if you're going to a lake that has a lot of, we don't deal with many snags on Chautauqua, but some of these inland reservoirs around here.
So that's where it fills the niche, is a really good downrod, deeper in the column.
Mm-hmm.
And, you heard how we talked about the action.
Yeah.
And, kind of going along in that same ballpark price, mm-hmm. you got a bait that's a little bit different that I don't want to say, I feel tends to be overlooked, and I could be wrong. It could just be our demographic. It could be really hot in other sectors of the musky range here. But in our area, these BNN Talons, we got a bunch of these. I wouldn't say a bunch. I mean, I bought a few a couple years ago, and I played with them a little bit. But the one that you used this year, Todd, quite a bit, mm-hmm. was their 5-inch Fat Shad.
Yes.
So it's another shad bait.
Mm-hmm.
Some differences with the Fat Shad compared to like that Tough Shad we talked about is these are wood baits. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, and please, people, we're not researching this. We're just going off the cuff on this stuff.
I'd have to look in my box to find some answers.
We're just doing a campfire review on this stuff. I believe that they're an epoxied wood bait that is through wired. And the paints, I'm going to tell mm-hmm. you, how can I put this? I'm going to say from just comparing it to the Tough Shads, they are a step or two above them. They are a great looking bait from like the ones that you can buy. They're not quite as like mass produced as the Tough Shads, but they got a great look to them. And they're a bait that, you know, I've talked to other people and they're just like, yeah, it's a, it, for what you're getting a heck of a deal out of this bait. Now, Todd, talk about how it ran.
Well, I'll say this, like you were saying about demographics, and I think that has a lot to do with it here. You know, I don't know when the Talons, that the B&N bought that company. I don't believe that they were around before Tough Shad by any means. That maybe I'm wrong. Someone would let us know if we are, but I don't believe. You know, so now you got a company based out there in Illinois. That Tough Shad originally rated right here in West Virginia. So you had your high, your Pennsylvania. This little crew got them here. We know there's little niches throughout, you know, and a lot of these shad baits are shad bait. That one, but they all are a little different. You know, he's got a round lip on, a rounded lip. They have a great action. They don't get quite as deep as some of my other shad baits, but that's where you got to learn your tackle box. Like if you're trying to achieve depth, which is, you know, in trolling, man, that's a lot of times that's just the most important thing. Unless you're, you know, when you're short line trolling in the spring, and you know, you're in 6 to 8 feet of water. I mean, it's very easy to keep these things in the zone. But when you're trying to spread things out, or they're hitting, you know, and down 12 feet, and you're not getting hits unless that bait is in that vicinity, you know. So it's just, you know, maybe let out a little more line. But in Pennsylvania here, I didn't get out much. My daughter was home, and we weren't allowed to guide till the middle of May. So I didn't really hardly go. The lakes were so busy, I wasn't interested in going by myself. So, but the times I get up there, I get fish on those B&Ns every time. We got a few fish at Chautauqua on them too. Really nice running bait. And as Andy said, that price point we looked at,
it was $25 to $30.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
wooden bait. Yeah. For it's hard to find
a wooden bait. Through wired and epoxy, and the paint jobs, the paint jobs are, I'm going to probably say, on par with mine, and I put myself at average. You know, I mean, that they are.
Everybody's paint's got their own look. You know, that's the thing. You know, you can tell who painted it.
Right,
perch looks like a perch. Fire tigers are very fire tigery.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, so compare it to. And the only reason we're comparing it to the baits we've already talked about is because it's fresh in people's minds. You were saying the Tough Shad was a tight wiggle. How would you compare the wiggle of that Fat Shad?
It was a little more tail whip on it, you know, a little more wiggle action rather than just that straight wobble. Not as violent as like the old wooden Tough Shad or the, you know, some of these other shad baits. But, you know, the lip is, there's not as much lip there. But they ran great for me. Once again, it was a bait I didn't really, you know, little tune out of the box, and I had no problem keeping them running or anything like that, you know.
Do you feel that if you have to tune a bait, so you get a brand new bait, and the first thing you always want to do is, you know, when you're in the boat after you sharpen the hooks and all that, is tune it. Do you feel it's a negative if you have to spend a little bit of time tuning the bait, but it finally does get tuned? Or do you want one that hits the water and it's just ready to go?
Oh, I'd love to have it hit the water and ready to go. It's fun. Okay. I mean, it's quick and easy, but I have no problem doing a little tuning, you know. Some of the baits are very, some of these baits, and more of that wobble, more of that wiggle they have, the touchier they're going to be, you know, because you're asking those small baits, especially, to do a lot at high speed, you know. And those ones that start walking around a bit, you know what I mean? When they're walking, they can only walk so much. There's a speed there that they're not going to walk that much anymore. They're going to start blowing out on you. So, you know, you got to spend some time on it. And that's just a nice, regular, straight running crankbait, you know.
Minimal work out of the box for tune wise.
Yep.
After you caught fish, did you have to work on to get the tune back in, or?
Don't remember having to do anything like that. No.
Maybe just a little tweak.
Yep.
And that's not a negative, because you can have a really good
happening all the time.
They get in the net and you get one hook on one, you get the snap caught in the net and the fish starts to thrash. Stuff happens. But we're more or less
and I, if they are through wired, I think we're correct there. You know, the same thing happens there. You know, if you're using Wiley's, the eye screw will turn a little bit. Well, when one of those eye screws is turned crooked, the bait doesn't run right. Well, the same thing happens with those through-wired baits. You know, I've caught them on Legend perch bait before and laid it in the water, and the thing's not running. I was like, why is that thing not running? You look over to find out in the net, the tail hook.
That big bucktail loop thing.
Yeah, it's coming out, and it's wrapped a few times. You know, I've looked down, and I've had that thing bent at a 90-degree angle in mm-hmm. the net.
Right.
And all you do is just straighten it up and, you know, but big fish and in the net rolling around, you know, it can bend them wires all around. And man, just keeping the same as your eye screws, keeping them lined up straight, keeping those wires straight, that keeps you tuning. You know, I mean, that's just something that, you know, tuning, we can talk about it. Everyone talks, you know, all the bait makers talk about it. And, you know, it's just the biggest thing that people just don't, they don't spend the time to do it, you know, and, when we go on these trips, trolling trips, yeah, you know, I take people out and they're running six, and then they'll come with me the next year or something. They're like, man, I can't troll more than two baits or I'm tangled. And I tell them, what, your baits aren't tinned. Yeah, I mean, there's no other reason. Your bait, if you're running these baits, then they're not working right. There's no he's like, well, my boat's only I only got a 16-foot boat. Well, mine's 19-foot. It has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Your baits aren't tuned. Man, keeping them tuned is a, you know.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal for trolling multiple lines.
Like the fit and finish on the Fat Shad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After a couple fish, like an epoxy bait, did you feel like it was holding together? Like,
oh, yeah, I don't even, no issue there at all. They're on split rings, obviously. I know I got a little belly groove going in them, but that's happening to all the baits that have a split ring, you know. And I've teed the hooks, but you still get that little belly groove. It usually wears in.
From the front hook.
From the front hook, and then once that's done, it's done, you know. Yep. I mean, I've wore the tough shads to the point where I've had to drain the water and
they leak. You've had so much hook rash that it actually wore through the wall of the bait, and now there's water in the chamber.
All the time, yeah. Or a fish grabs it and it's already a little softer there because it's pretty thin, and a tooth goes through it. That's happened numerous times too, but you can fix them right up.
Yeah. So fit and finish is good. Where would you, if someone was looking to buy one of these baits, what would you say its area of fishing, its season, its depth? What would you be looking? What would you tell someone? This bait is really good in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I did good in that early season, in that short lining, in that shallow water stuff. And here's, I grabbed them because I said they don't get quite as deep. Okay, so I was running those fishing up at our local lake where I was trolling in, you know, 5 feet of water. I could at least, I was still putting it in the downrod position, but I was able to let a little bit line up. So it wasn't like, you know, I was able to let 10 feet of line out or 8 feet rather than keeping it, which some of my other shad baits, if I'm in 6 feet of water and I let that much line out and put a down rod, I'd be snagged up. Mm-hmm. So I was getting that shad profile. I was getting that small bait, but I was able to keep it off. You know, it just doesn't get quite as deep as some of the other ones I use. And that's where I was running it, you know, and the price point comes back to it. Andy, as you said, I mean, it's a $35 bait, maybe.
It's a $25 to $30 off their website.
Yeah, it's a $30 bait, you know.
Yeah, and I don't
our lakes in Pennsylvania are filled with, you know, I can fish the same lake year after year after year, and all of a sudden I go down the shoreline and I get all three poles wiped out on one side of my boat, a place I've been through 100 times, and there's someone's buried a bunch of Christmas trees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, if I lose it, yes, I'm sad. I can get another one. It's 25 instead of, you know, 60 or something, as some baits are. So that's another reason that
I'm going to probably say that is one of the best bargains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For
a wooden bait like that.
For a wooden through wired epoxy bait.
Mm-hmm.
I got that price off their website. I mean, things can change, you know, they fluctuate every year. So, you get a great looking bait, and like Todd says, it doesn't run as deep as some of the other baits of its size, But it's stable. It was fairly tuned out the box. It holds up well. If you do lose it, you're not. You might be sad, but you're not going to. Your wallet isn't going to cry all that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But probably one of the best deals going out there. If when you go and look at their booth at any of the shows, if there's shows this year, just a really nice looking, nice running bait, from the guys at BNN. All right, let's do one more, and we're going to kind of go the other end of the spectrum on this one. So, I have to do this for tradition. We're going to be talking with Fret Holder's baits. It's Fret Holder, but I like Fret Holder. You screwed around some. I have no experience with this bait at all. Mm-hmm. It's his new bait. I believe it came out this year, which is the 7-inch Cuda.
Yes.
I would say
that's really new. He had the 9-inch Cuda. I think he had some around last winter there.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to he built a little smaller one, a 7. I know he caught some. I know he's been getting some nice fish on them. Guys have been. Yeah. But they're new. There's not many of them out there. He got a couple. We got a couple. I don't know how many Vance got. I know I got one. And, give it a try, give it a shot, or, give it a couple runs and see what you think. Great, really nice running bait, I ran the 9 a little earlier on, and, it ran real nice, it's beautiful bait, and then he does some incredible paint jobs.
So let's describe this bait a little bit. So the 7-inch Cuda, it's about 7 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider it to be a shad bait, or would it be more like a minnow-type bait?
Yeah, I would say more like a minnow or perch type shape, It's a little longer. It doesn't have that shad look.
It's more round. It's more of a round body than a flat side.
Yeah, well, it's kind of thin across the back,
Okay.
But unique shape. It looks like a barracuda.
Hence the name.
But, yeah, I think so. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, very neat shape to it.
Neat shape.
I probably got that bait in October, so I didn't get to run it much.
Mm-hmm.
But
you ran it enough to be able to
ran it enough, had action, got fish to the point that, definitely going to continue.
Yeah. So if anyone has watched Fret Hold or on like the Facebook or his YouTube channels and stuff like that, I'm going to probably say attention to detail. He's in an elite class.
Yeah.
An extreme elite class on this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that hasn't seen it, his edge polishing of the lips is a person who likes the high end. It is a over-the-top detail.
Mm-hmm.
How on the edge of the lips, so the exposed edge, the edge that gets ground against the dirt,
yeah.
is polished to optical clarity.
Yes.
It's a really fine detail that takes a lot of effort to do. The baits that I have of his, the epoxy, I'm going to say is, up there with just about everybody who's gotten good with epoxy. It's clean. Yeah. There's not a lot of, you're never going to have a perfect epoxy. You can find an air bubble here. You can find an air bubble, maybe a bristle. It happens. But good looking epoxy. And just watch some of the videos he has. The tooling that he's made almost just makes you want to have the bait for like that wooden drying wheel that he has.
Yeah, and all these put into all this stuff.
Yeah, huge amounts. And it's really nice craftsmanship. And like you said, the paint, he's gone over the top in the last couple years with just when you see someone coming in, you just started painting baits to where you're at. He progressed really quickly. So it's like museum quality stuff. So, and I believe it's through wired. I have not touched one myself. I've only seen photos.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I'm done.
Okay. So with that said, two hooks. That is kind of like the outside description of it. Some people like me like to get baits like that and just put them in the museum. Other people say I'm going to run them. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I can't give any more review. because I'm just speaking from an outsider's perspective. You're the one that actually had them.
Mm-hmm.
How does the bait run? What kind of wiggle?
It has a really nice back and forth. It's more of a wiggle than a wobble, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, rather than that little shake. For the size of the bait, size of the lip and everything, I would say it wasn't like looking at a bait, you know, picking it up. I don't think it didn't get as deep, you know, as deep as I thought they were going to, the 7 and the 9. But that's no problem. You can just let a little line out, you know. It was getting down there nice, but it wasn't getting as deep with a bait like that would.
Looking at it, you had the thought that it was going to go deeper.
It was going to go real deep, yeah. And you can tell as soon as I let it out, I look at the line angle. I was like, oh, it's not getting down there as far as I thought it was going to, real, you know, right off the bat. But that's just every bait's a little different. You know, you can continue letting line out until you get it. But they ran great. Once again, we only got a few fish on them. I didn't get the opportunity to run them much because I didn't get one till, you know, like I said, it was in October.
8 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, yeah.
So it did. It was a moderate depth. I mean, did you feel you needed to leave a lot of line out to get it to your depth?
No. I would just say for what I was expecting, it wasn't getting quite as deep as I thought it would. But
not an issue though.
Not an issue. No.
Okay, so then it had just a nice moderate wiggle action to it. Mm-hmm. Did it hold the speed well?
Yes, I had no problem there. I had no problem tuning them up. They were tuned and ready to go. I don't even remember if I had to tune those couple that I have, you know. So
with that being said, I mean, you did catch some fish on them. How did it hold up after the fish?
Yep, I didn't see anything starting to wear, you know, a little rub on that belly hook on that 9, I know. But you're going to get that. It's through wired. It's got a big, nice loop there, and you got an O-ring on it. So you're going to get a little bit of wear there. But, yep, everything held up great.
Everything held up great. So if I was a guy and I'm like, I really want to buy this bait, what would you tell me this its niche would be?
You could, you know, I was running it off the side. I had some deeper divers tight. I was running it off a side rod, you know, probably a little bit more pull than I would want for my inline planer board, you know, especially with the 9, but, you know, the 7 also, you know, it's getting to be a pretty big bait and they're pulling pretty hard. So, you know, I was running that side rod, easy to adjust your depths and let a little more line. And that's where I was running mine, you know.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's a, you know, it's a 7-inch bait. I mean, that's something, I don't know, spring, summer, fall, whatever, you know.
I like the 7-inch through the 9-inch to be anytime you want to run them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these fish eat, you know. You catch a lot on these little shad baits, but, you know, you also, then the next thing is you drive down the lake and you see one that's choking because he tried to swallow a bass.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not all eating that little stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a very common size there. A 7-inch perch, you know, pretty common in a lot of the lakes around here.
No doubt.
You know.
No doubt. So, yeah, I think you hit it about right. You know, you got a mid-depth running, not horribly aggressive on the dive curve, but it's still not a shallow running bait that could probably not do great on a board, but could work out on a board. Maybe not do real great as a downrod bait. Unless you're going to let out some more line, its home seems to be on the boat, you know, the outrod.
Mm-hmm.
And
the way I was fishing, yeah, that's where I found my home for it.
Okay, so it's a good, and at that point with the outrod, you can run that thing shallow in the spring. You can let it out a little bit deeper as, you know, the temperatures change into the summer and the fall, and. Mm-hmm. It's of the three baits that we talked about, it is the most priced, as you would expect with something that, as I explained, the additional effort that goes into the finer details. I don't know for a fact. I haven't looked too hard at it, but you're probably around that $90 to $100 range, could be north of that. but we're talking more of a higher end bait.
Mm-hmm.
So price point, that's kind of where that one's at. But I'd say that that's a pretty decent review on those three baits. And just by chance, we kind of hit a downrod, outrod, board rod setup here. And maybe, you know, we're kind of getting our feet wet on this. I kind of like these bait reviews. And we might have more standard questions and a procedure that we go through. But you would say that 8-inch tough shad on how aggressive it dives would be a good downrod bait. That fret holder, that's a good outrod. And that fat shad from BNN, would you feel it'd be at home on board?
Yeah, that's where I ran it when we were fishing Chautauqua, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, interchangeable. You know, you're fishing shallow water. You're not trying to run that deep. Now you're trying to run your side rods 2 feet down and, you know, one that dives, you know, those little less diving ones, I can put my down rod. And all I'm trying to do is space them out there, you know what I mean? I'm trying to keep my spacing, you know.
Yep.
For certain points, they're a bit interchangeable, but that's where they found the home in my boat at the different times, you know. So that little bait was my down rod early and my planer board rod most of the summer, you know.
Right. Interesting. So I'm going to say that's a good thing as we try to craft this a little bit better if we want to do some gear review stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, check them out. You can find Tough Shads many, many places. BNN, they have their own website. Google them. BNN in the Talons Fat Shad was the one that we reviewed. And Fred Hold, the 7-inch Cuda. You can find him on Facebook, and I think he has a group as well. I believe so. Again, we did not do any prep on this. We just kind of started this one up, and I like it. To grow organically than try to do a lot of pre-show prep. But anyways, no one asked us to do this. No one has given us money. Just want to be clear, this is just what we felt, our opinions on those three baits. With that being said, we still have a whole bunch more on the list, and we might actually review some of the other baits in the future that we've talked about for years. To kind of just fit into some stuff, could help some people out. You know, back in the day, I would just buy something and I think it runs like this, but I really had no idea. I didn't hear someone talk about it at depth and ask questions and dialogue. So anyways, I'm good with that. Todd, are you good with,
yeah,
perfect.
Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And
yeah. Big thanks to Fatty Z Musky Products, Muddy Creek Fishing Guide, St. Croix Rods, Ranger Boats, Vic's Marine, Musky's Inc., and the Musky Max Plus. So with that, like Todd said, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening.